All right. So, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
I'm filming this too, so I actually have a guest here. His name's Austin. Austin Elwood.
How's it going, guys? I'm Austin Elwood.
Yeah, just talk toward, like, this area. You don't have to be like, yo, like, but just, like, when you're, you know, try to... It's close enough, so it won't really matter too much, but...
Okay.
Because the mics on these cell phones are fucking insane. I don't know if you've ever fucked with it, but it's fucking really good.
Well, I've talked on the phone a couple times.
I don't mean like that, but... So anyway, today's episode is going to be basically about how to move on from tragedies and how to live your life still being happy-go-lucky. That's like an old school term, but, and just basically, when I met Austin, I didn't think that he had a lot of shit that he had gone through. Like, you didn't conduct yourself like a person that I thought that had all this shit happen to them, and the shit that did happen to you.
Right.
So, I want to take everybody back to, you know, your youth, touch on some things there, and then go to the really big tragedy.
Right.
Which I think was the big tragedy, right? I mean,
well, yeah,
unless you didn't, there are more, no, you no, didn't tell me.
That's the main one.
But yeah, no, I want you guys to listen to this, and I want you, if you've ever had anything really bad happen to you, anybody die, any surgeries, anything like that, I want you guys need to listen to this and just really take it in. So, all right, take us back to your youth. Tell everybody, like, what you have gone through.
Okay. So, growing up, I was raised majority by my mom. Since I was 2 years old, her and my dad got a divorce. And so from 2 on, I was raised by my mom. I grew up with my mom, my sister, eventually my niece. And as I was growing up, I didn't really have a male figure. So my mom did her best to give me both. So it was pretty...
That's tough for any single parent. But
yeah, it definitely is. Being a father now, I couldn't imagine doing it alone. So understanding now that what my mom has done and what she sacrificed to do to basically give me everything I wanted or needed, you know, is just insane. But, you know, I did go throughout my years. I grew up, and I would say I would have been a lot different if, you know, Dad was in the picture. But since he wasn't, I grew up kind of trying to teach myself about what it is to be a man. And when you teach yourself things, you're actually not really learning much, if that makes any sense.
Well, I mean, I can empathize with you there. Not in physical form, but in mental form. My dad really wasn't there too much either, so I didn't really learn things like respect or how to be a masculine figure, and yeah, I didn't learn any of that shit.
Well, you know, trying to teach myself what it is to be a man. The only person that can teach you that is really the male role models in your life. You know, you go off of sometimes what your mom expects of you, what your sister expects of you, what your aunts, your uncles, and all that expect of you. But if you don't really have that person, that constant person to be your role model, you're going to try to teach yourself. And that's what I did growing up, and I caused a lot of different fuck-ups to make it easier to break it down. A lot of fuck-ups I went through. Like, I thought, in order to get someone to leave you alone, you had to fight them. That's exactly what I thought. So that's what I did. I started shaving my face. I had no fucking hair on it at 13. And I never stopped. Now I got a beard. You know, I did all kinds of shit. Like, it goes way past what we're talking about, what I've done to try to learn what it takes to be a man without that. But, yes, time went on. I turned 18. I moved out from my hometown because I was having a lot of the violent issues, let's say that. Not within my family, but within the community I was raised. Because I was raised on a border town, literally probably about 10 minutes from Mexico.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
So being raised there, being the only white person there.
But you don't look white, though.
I know I don't.
You do but not. But you know
why? It's because I've adapted. And that's another thing, too. Without knowing which direction you're supposed to go to be the certain person you're supposed to be, you grab at everything. You take pieces of everything. Anywhere from my facial hair to my haircuts to my slang, my accent. I was told to have an accent that, like, I talk like I'm more so like a cholo gangbanger. And it's just because the people I was around, you know? And I grabbed personalities, I grabbed all this stuff, trying to build myself to be, you know, who I am today. Which now, looking back, I don't really see it as a problem, what I'd done. But I know that could have been a little bit better.
I think we all could have.
Yeah, but a big result in doing so, I earned my fair share of problems within my town I lived in. And it was highly encouraged that I move up here to Phoenix, start fresh, start new, and I was going to live with my dad. So, you know, 18 years of mom, you know, from 18 and on, dad. You know, of course, still have this amazing bond with mom. You know, call her, talk to her, messages on Facebook. You know, emails. Like, you know, just you don't let that stuff go. But yeah, moved up here, 18, started working with my hands. Work in the warehouse. I was busting my ass making okay money just to get by. But I thought it was so much money because I never had the opportunity before. And so,
how old were you?
I was 18.
Okay.
So, 18, I started working 2 months after I moved up here. So, by my 19th birthday, I was already established. I was already established, but by force, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
I got kicked out by my dad's wife. Really, really, really ridiculous reasons.
Yeah, I think you went over this last time we hung out, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
About the brother?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just one of those things you just have to take it head on. I took all the money I had, which wasn't a lot, but I took all the money I had and gave it to my newly found girlfriend. I said, hey, do me a favor. While I go to work today, can you go find me a place to live? I would really appreciate it.
Damn.
Yeah. And so just entrusting somebody that I decided to be in a relationship with for not very long. I'm talking probably like 2 weeks.
Wow.
And giving her, you know, $1,400, like, hey, I trust you. You can go find me a place. And I didn't have to look at it. I didn't care. I was nowhere. I had nothing. Just like I did when I first moved down here. But yeah, but see, I feel like I'm rambling. I'm not really good at this podcast stuff.
It's all good.
But, can you go into detail about like some of the issues that you went through? So I know you've told me, but...
Yeah, but which part are you...
just the gang activity and stuff like that.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I grew up around people that were affiliated. In Somerton, there's a gang called SOMA, which stands for Society of Mexican Americans. And I grew up with the people that were the OGs, quote-unquote. Since I was like 5, they knew who I was. My nickname was White Boy. I was cool with everybody. I was cool with everybody up until I was 15. But everybody knew who I was. And the only reason why they hung out around me was because my sister was 4 years older than I was. So, of course, you know, they grew up together and they started getting affiliated, but still having this thing for my sister or whatever. And obviously, they'd have to see me all the time. And they're like, oh, no, he's cool. He's cool. We know who he is. We know exactly who he is. Grew up with him, technically. It wasn't until I started in middle school. I used to get bullied a lot, but people didn't know who I was. And bullying turned into me defending myself, to me being accused of being in another gang. And I'm like, in middle school?
Damn.
In middle school. I was like 13 years old. So, had a huge, huge problem with the activity and fights and being jumped in middle school. As strange as it seems, being 26 now, thinking, shit, 13 years ago, I was getting my ass beat, and nobody fucking helped me. No teachers, no nothing, because it just was so regular. It was insane.
Damn.
And, you know, when I started high school, things got a little bit more intense, and I was no longer under the quote-unquote protection of the original gangsters that I knew growing up, because now I was old enough to have made my own decisions to join another gang, which I was never affiliated. Never gangbanged in my life. Never. I mean, I always just defended myself. That's all I did. Defend myself, and yeah, sometimes I would get mad and I would start stuff, but never. Never have I dedicated myself to a gang or any kind of group of people that was intended to attack another group of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definition of a gang I was never part of.
Did you feel that you had to be affiliated or else you would have just been like odd man out and just gotten like destroyed or like...
Well, the thing was, man, people in my high school, the other white kids in my high school, right? You know, they never had problems. Like, some of them, yeah, they got into a fight or whatever, but that was it. It was a fight. But it never continued as much as it did with me for some reason.
Huh.
So, yeah, I heavily considered it because there was a gang in particular called Northside Hollywood and Naked City. Sounds really weird, right? But those are two gangs. in my high school at the time.
Are they still active?
I don't know. I haven't been back to my hometown in a couple years, but I wouldn't doubt it. They were pretty big in my high school. And they were always like the ones to like jump in, kind of like the savior in disguise, even though they were just as bad people as Soma was. But nobody fucking liked Soma because I guess like the purpose of a gang is to, well, what it first starts out to be is protection of your own city. Soma is not only short for Society of Mexican Americans, but also short for Somerton. You know, that's their turf. Why would the fuck would they be beating up people in their own city? You know, we're from the same place, grew up the same way, grew up kind of in poverty a little bit, but why the fuck are you going against people that live here? Like, you know, but those people had the same feelings and anger towards that gang, and they had offered me to be in because I wasn't a bitch. Like, I'd fought. Like, as scary as it was at a lot of times, like, I fought. And, you know, I've been hit in the head so fucking hard, like, my forehead is split, and I still, like, if I'm...
Just gonna ask, like, take us through, like, how many fights you think you've gotten into? Can you not even count, or...
Oh, dude, when I grew up in Somerton, I've probably been in probably just under 30 fights.
Damn.
Just under 30. Been jumped 12 times.
Is that included in the 30 or is that 42?
No, so no, it's if you want to count it all together, it's like 42.
Wow.
Because I can tell you how many times I've been jumped while growing up, because I remember every single situation, every single thing that happened. Started with the first jumping to about the sixth jumping, I'm realizing that this is not going to stop. And I started learning how to defend myself against, like, we called it crowd control, me and my friends. Now, we weren't a gang, but we were friends and we. We fought Soma a lot. And so we did, like, crowd control or whatever. And, like, if I was walking down the street, man, I would never walk to... we had Main Street where it was all the shops and stuff. I would never walk to Main Street without a soda can. Now, if a cop stops you, you have a soda can, right? So it's not anything that you can get in trouble for, right? Especially being underage. So there's no knife, there's no gun. You have a soda can.
What?
Okay, so you have a soda can.
Yeah.
Let's say that I'm being followed. And I could tell this is about to happen. Someone's arguing with me across the street. And they have friends over there, too. They're hanging outside their house, and people are talking shit. And I know it's about to go down.
Okay.
I'll take my empty soda can, and I'll start twisting it in opposite directions until it kind of funnels in together, and it gets really tiny. And I'll make sure it rips. And I'll keep twisting it until it rips. And guess what I have now? I have two, like, razor blade-like weapons in each hand. And I'm going to fuck everybody up that comes near me.
Wow.
That's
pretty kind of innovative for like, a younger kid.
Dude, it was like, what can I do? I let the grass in the front yard grow after I got jumped in front of my mom.
Damn.
Like, in the front yard. I let the grass grow. I had butcher knives and scissors in the tall grass, knowing exactly where they were.
Holy shit.
And, you know, it's crazy because if I had a gun, I probably would have used it. That's like the fear that builds up in you, and like the fight or flight. Like it's fight, because if you flight, if you run, they're just gonna hit you in the back.
Damn.
Might as well face it head on and go for it. And I would get so mad. I'm like, just fight me one-on-one. Fight me one-on-one. I had a bus full of people say, fight him one-on-one. And there was 20 people at my bus stop. When I first initially got jumped in high school, gang-wise, they were using me as like an initiation for the peewees. So here I am. I'm like 14, 15. I'm like 15 years old. And there's like 20 people. Majority of them, I'm not going to lie, 12, 13-year-olds. Okay? Me being 15, I should be able to kick a 12-year-old's ass. I should be able to kick a 13-year-old's ass. But when it's in that many numbers, and then there's a mixture of people that were a little bit older than I was, but,
damn,
you know, like six of those people, but the rest of them are like 12, 13-year-olds. Like, it's just, those are, they're not good odds. You're going to fucking lose.
Yeah.
Even if you fight an army of midgets, you're going to fucking lose. Because you're going to look this way, and you're going to get hit this way. You know, and... But nobody would fight me one-on-one. So if I had a gun, I probably would have shot some people. But yeah, so...
I mean, I don't blame you at that point.
Yeah, so you get innovative, man. You think outside the box a little bit. You wear a belt, even if your pants are tight. You take off your belt, you wrap it around your hand, and you fucking punch. And if you get someone to turn around real quick, you wrap that belt around, and you drop them with it. Like... Okay, so I had a group of friends, really close, tight circle friends that I don't associate myself with anymore, because I realized they were like kind of like fuel to the problem instead of like people that were, you know, helping me get away from it. But like I had a tight circle of friends that we knew this was something that would happen day to day. You have to watch out. We did this thing. We're like, hey man, 8 o'clock, we're going to meet up at this person's house, last person there, green light. Green light and gang terms is to shoot on sight, right? So to be killed, right? But with Soma, they didn't have a fucking gun, but green light meant hit him with a fucking bat, beat the fuck out of him, beat the shit out of somebody. That's green light. Fuck him up on sight.
Damn.
Not kill on sight, fuck him up on sight. And so if you were the last one to show up to our meeting or whatever, or not our meeting, but us hanging out, you would get jumped. We would jump you. And it's just made me that much better at whatever I'm doing. And we would talk about like, bro, so I figured this out
today. You get jumped all day at work then.
Yeah. Like I know, I'm fucking late all the time. but yeah, man, I learned a lot of stuff that made me really street smart. But I don't know if you notice, like when I talk sometimes I can not only just ramble on, but like I'll mumble really like for a second.
Sometimes I can't understand you, and I'll be like, yo, dude, what?
Yeah, and I'll be like, I feel like I truly do have, like, some kind of, like, brain damage.
You think getting hit in the head, like, fucked you up, and you, like, slur and shit?
Yeah. Like, you know, football players get...
Yeah.
I've never been to a doctor, and they said, oh, well, you have something wrong with you. Like, I feel like I, like, just literally have something...
Holy shit, that's insane.
Yeah. There was one time I was taking a piss in the bathroom at in high school, and I went to this, not even the stall, just up to the urinal. And, you know, I'm taking a piss, and I'm just chilling because I didn't have a cell phone. So, you know, you're just looking at the wall.
Yeah.
And someone came up behind me and pushed my head against the tile of the urinal.
God. In front.
I went boom. I hit my head like fucking hard. I stumbled back with my fucking dick out, everything. And
that's low.
They started beating the shit out of me for like maybe only 10 seconds. I don't know, but it wasn't long at all. But like as I was like trying to like get myself together, like I ended up throwing up because of like how I don't know what caused it, but I just was so sick.
Concussion.
I was so sick. I fucking puked all over myself and went home.
Well, at least you got to go home.
Yeah, but you can't say why. It's like, I don't know. I'm very glad to be out of there. But now that I'm bigger, I'm not scared at all to go back. I have taken what I've learned there streetwise and brought it here. And the people out here are like way more legit gangsters than what I was used to. But at the same time, I'm accustomed to what is respectful towards a gang member. So, like, my wife, okay? Every time I get out of the car, she'll lock the doors. Okay? Me? I'll stand somewhere and I'm not give a fuck. I'm like, if something happens, it's gonna happen. I'm gonna fucking defend myself. That's not a good comparison, really. But, like, but like, people get scared of being in certain areas. Like, I was on, you know, 19th Avenue in Dunlap. And
I don't really know that, but
2 days ago, someone got shot because they got into a fight. Yeah.
Because what? Because
they were in a fight, and then someone was getting their ass beat, apparently, and they pulled out a gun and shot him 5 times. Point blank.
Damn.
That dude never got caught at all. But, yeah, like, so I don't get worried about that kind of shit. And April 20th, I got done with a concert out here, Puddle of Mud, Saving Abel, and all that shit. And I took the light rail back, and I ended up getting jumped by 2 black dudes. That were
out here, really?
Yeah, on Alice Avenue and 19th Avenue.
Whoa. Yeah.
And my face was a fucking mess, dude. Because I wasn't covering up my face. I was covering up my valuables, because now, being older, I have valuables. I have a wallet. I have a phone. I have, you know, my cigarettes at the time. And then my vape, you know, I have all my shit in my pockets, and they were trying to just rob me. And I let him kick, punch. I had bruised ribs, had a fat lip. Both lips, both fucking flat. Fat.
Damn.
Top lip split. And it was fucking bad, dude. Missing like a chunk out of my lip on this side. It was gross. But I got up and I just kept fucking walking. Like, I've been there, done that, man. Like,
wow.
It's crazy. Like, I'm not saying like I'm invulnerable or anything. Like, if I get my ass beat, I know I got my ass beat. It fucking hurts. But.
Yeah.
Like.
I think everybody should get their ass kicked, like, really bad at least once. Maybe not, like, terminally, but I think it definitely helps you in your perspective of just life in general.
Yeah.
But let's get to the main tragedy in your life.
Okay.
You want me to grab you a beer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. The main tragedy.
We're going a little heavy with this.
Yeah.
Busting up the ice.
Busting up the heavy. Ice. Thank you, Jeez.
I don't normally drink on podcasts, but I don't give a shit.
Cheers.
It's my podcast, bitches.
So, the main tragedy, you know, everything I'm just talking about right now was just a boat of, like, just probably came off a bunch of negative stuff, right? But
informative.
Yeah. So I grew up and moved out here a couple years down the road, which is actually 2.5 years ago. I had a pretty cool job. I was about to be assistant manager at AT&T. I had a car that I was in the process of buying, like, off of somebody, so I was making payments, but I still was able to have it. I was doing really good for myself, and while I'm at work, I stepped out to have a cigarette, and I got a call from my friend that lives in Somerton, and my mom lived there, my sister lived there, but I got a call from my friend, and he's like, hey man, I need to talk to you about something. I need you to be like, listen to me and take me 100% serious. And I'm like, all right, what you want? And he says, so my brother Gabriel, which is his brother, obviously, my brother Gabriel was driving down the street on Avenue C, coming back towards Somerton from Yuma, which is only 15 minutes away, and was driving down the street, and he was behind a brown car, and a white truck wrecked into her head on. Wrecked into the car head on. And Gabriel stopped the car and ran up there to help the person in the car. And it turns out to be your mom. Now, from where I lived at the time, where I was working at the time, I was 3.5 hours away when I got that call. And when I got that call, I begged him to tell me he was joking. I said, please shut the fuck up and tell me that you're joking. Please tell me you're joking. He's like, Austin, I'm not kidding, man. You need to get down here. I don't know how bad she is. I'm just going off of what Gabriel's telling me. You need to get here. And, you know, it's your mom. I hang up the phone. I call my sister that lives down that road, maybe about 4 minutes. I call her, tell her the same thing. And she tells me, shut the fuck up, thinking I'm playing around with her. And having to repeat what I said was really tough. Mom's been in an accident. You need to drive down Somerton Avenue and go as fast as you can and just go until you see the accident and please call me back.
I can't even imagine. Like, I try to think of that. Like, what would I think? What would I say? I have no idea. Like, I don't even...
So, before I get ahead of myself, I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to leave work yet. I'm going to stay by my car and I'm just going to call my sister back in 5 minutes. It'll take her 5 minutes to get there. She doesn't call me back. So I call her. And she answers the phone. And I just hear her screaming at the top of her lungs. Just the most painful scream I've ever heard my sister scream. Ever. And when she got there, there was already an ambulance there. That was the paramedics or the people inside were... performing CPR on my mom while they're getting her out of the car via Jaws of Life. They put the white sheet over her and for the glass and stuff, and Sarah was screaming, crying. And when they loaded her up and all that stuff, my sister was able to scream to her, Mom, I love you, I'm here. You know?
Was she still alive at that point?
No idea. But they, in the news and on the reports and all that stuff, it says that she died en route to the hospital. I didn't even get to my dad's house yet, which was only like 20 minutes away from where I worked.
Damn.
And I called my dad. I'm screaming. I'm crying. I'm a fucking mess because I don't know exactly what's going on. I thought my mom was still there, you know? And I get to Avondale and I'm like, Armin, you have to drive me. I can't drive. I'm fucking losing my mind. So, without any hesitation, we just get in the car and we go. And we got 15, 20 minutes down the road of this 3-hour drive. And my grandma calls my phone and says, Austin, have your dad pull over and I need to talk to him. And at that point, I knew that a month and a half ago was the last time I was ever going to talk to my mom. And wow. I didn't take advantage of that at all. I took no advantage of that 1.5 a month ago. Before that, on Mother's Day, she died 2 weeks after Father's Day. She didn't call me for Father's Day, which I didn't think of it too much. I'm like, whatever. Maybe she doesn't remember the day or whatever. And, you know, we're still driving over there, and we get to Yuma Regional Medical Center, the hospital there, and my whole family was there, and nobody looked the same. Nobody looked the same. And it was just like, they're asking me, well, the doctors asked me, do you want to see her one last time? And I had this huge internal debate with myself saying, you should remember as she was. And the other one saying, this is the last time you'll ever see your mom. You'll ever be able to touch her hand. You'll be able to do anything. This is the last time, Austin. You have to go. And I went there with my sister. And it was the worst. My mom got hit head on at an angle, okay, on her side. Front left of the car got hit by a white truck. And she skid out of the road, flipped into the field once. The car was in fucking twisted metal. And When I saw her, the side of her head was open. And the white sheet covering her was had blood near her abdomen. Cuts on her arms. Her eyes not fully shut. It wasn't even where I could picture her asleep.
Wow.
And I touched her hand and just got a cold hand. And it was the worst. It was the worst I ever felt. Where you just, all the life is out of you. And you just collapse. You hit the floor and you're just like, what the fuck? Mom. You know, and like, I don't care how old I get. I don't care how much time passes. But it will never be easy to tell that story.
I can't even imagine, man.
Only because there's a camera and this fucking thing, and you sitting in front of me is the only reason why I'm not fucking bawling right now.
You can if you want. I mean, nobody's gonna...
Yeah, I try really hard not to.
Well, you can, dude. Don't think anything of it. Like, I've cried on camera. I mean, you saw the documentary. I thought people were gonna make fun of me. Not one person, man. Not one person. So anything with me, I'm in tune with my emotions, and my people know that. If they don't know that, they get to know that. So feel free, man. If you need to, you do it. And I thank you so much for telling me that story, especially on camera, because I know it's probably not easy. I didn't even think you would do it. I mean, that's insane. I absolutely love you for that, man. I respect the fuck out of you for that too, man.
Thank you.
Again, listen, man. Seriously, no, I'm not kidding. I'm not saying that because this shit's here. I mean, I am, but I would tell you that if this shit wasn't here,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not. You know, I try to keep it real all the fucking time. How did you get past that? Like, how long did it take you? I know you're not fully. You'll never fully be over that, probably, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, how? Like, how long did it take you to kind of, like, gather your shit and become who you are today?
Well...
How long ago did it happen?
So, it was just about 2.5 years ago. It was...
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
See, I thought longer, because you maintain yourself so well on a daily basis. I mean, I don't know what's in your head, but I hung out with you enough times and... did business with you enough times and shit like that to... I mean, sometimes you're spacey, but, you know, if shit's going on, we all get that way, I think. So...
Well, no, it was 2.5 years ago, and when it first happened, man, I was... You know, I stayed down there for 2 months living off my savings because I got let go from my job because I... They said, you know, hey, your bereavement's over. You need to come back. I said, there's no way. There's no way. I'll never go back to sales. I'll never go back and let some customer come in and tell me that they're buying a phone for their mom. Fuck them. They have Damn. Their mom. I don't. Like, fuck you, dude. Like, stop hitting me up. I'm not coming back. I can't. I'm not coming back yet. I need more time. So I lost my job. I was spending a lot of my savings living down there. You know, I had my son. And his mom kept him for as long as she could financially, you know. At a time, because we did, like, we alternated 2 weeks, 2 weeks, because we lived fairly close to each other. And so she cut them for as long as she could. Then, you know, I had them down there, but I was drinking my fucking time away over there. I was with old friends, and all I was doing was trying to forget. And it was so hard. Because while I was down there, my biggest goal was to get my mom's house in order. Get all the legal shit in order, get everything taken care of. And, you know, every day I walked by or drove by this fucker's house that hit my mom. Only 3 streets away from where we lived, where I grew up, 3 streets away. 19 years old at the time. Just celebrated his 21st birthday.
Was he drunk?
No. Just a tire blew out. Oh. And he obviously didn't have no fucking hands on the wheel. His truck went to the right. Okay, he's traveling. It's a 2-lane highway. Okay, his truck went to the right, which is just fields. So if he just would have went straight in and slowed down, he would have been fine. Truck went to the right. Then he grabs the wheel and yanks it this way, cuts in front of my mom. Okay, then he yanks the wheel back this way, cuts out towards the field again, and then yanks it again. And by this time, he went like this into my mom like that. I've had my fucking tire blow out on me going like 85, going from like Summerton to Phoenix before. You know what happens? It's... That's what happens. Your fucking tire blows, and you pull over, you change that bitch, and you keep going. Tell me why this motherfucker had no hands on the wheel. I know he didn't, but there's no repercussion. There's no nothing. Just people telling you to forgive. You know, that's the stuff I was battling. Because I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'll fucking kill him. I'll fucking kill him.
I'm all about forgiveness, but I can't. Like, I've never been in that position, so I don't even know. You know, I don't even know what I would think or say or do. I have no clue.
Yeah, him and his friend that were in the truck... We're at the hospital too, and they even see him. Obviously I didn't know who they were or anything, but yeah. But anyways, like the most of the time I was just drinking and smoking and doing whatever I can to numb the pain, essentially, and then I looked at my son and for those of you that don't have kids, like, if you have nieces or nephews, or you just look at a kid, or you just think about having one, then you can probably relate to what I'm about to say. I was a fucking mess. And I looked at my kid, and I looked at him, and all I thought to myself was, man, I really want to give my son a way better impression than what I'm doing right now. And I want to give my son better than what I've been giving him while he's here. You know, and even while he's not here, I need to do better for him. I know my mom right now is shaking her head by me drinking in her fucking carport. It's her empty ass house. And I'm just sitting here drinking with my friends. Fuck this. No. I'm going to fucking go back to Phoenix. I'm going to go find a job. Do whatever the fuck I got to do. I'm going to work. Provide for my kid. I'm going to move forward because that's what my mom would have wanted. That's what my son deserves. That's what I deserve. You know,
was that like the defining moment? Because I was going to actually ask you, did you have a defining moment, or is it just like I know it's hard day to day, but like it probably never gets any easier. But
no, it definitely gets easier in a sense,
more manageable, I guess.
Yeah, but right now during the holidays, I get really fucked up about it.
That's, I mean, I understand that,
but yeah, that defining moment, because my son asked me, "Dad, why are you crying?" And then he, like, touched my face and whatever. He's like, "Why are you crying?" I'm like, "I just miss Mamma, man." He's like, "Mamma?" Like, he didn't remember, you know, because, you know, younger, it doesn't really catch on. At the time, he was only 2.5, because he's 5 now. And he asked me why I was crying, and I was like, you know what? He doesn't deserve that. You know, and my mom deserves my tears, yes. But I know that she wants me to get in a better position. So I came back, did whatever I had to do to work. Made money. Because at the time, I lost my car. I lost the job. I lost the place I was living. And I had to start fresh. But I knew I couldn't do it there. Couldn't do it where I was living, where I grew up. I had to go back. And so I go back and pick up a job. And I worked for a month. Got my own place again. And I really haven't let myself look back, because I know at the end of the day, you know how badly I miss my mom. And even if like, this whole angels and demons thing isn't real, I would still be letting her down if she can see and hear me or not. You know, I'm letting her down if I'm staying down. I'd do better, be a father like she thought I was always going to be, because how much I resented my dad at the time. You know, I told her what standard I was going to be at, and I had to keep pushing to do that.
What advice would you have to anybody who kind of like maybe takes their mom for granted or takes their family for granted?
Man, just imagine this. You are walking down the street, and you just got off of a phone call with somebody, and you're like, man, I forgot to ask him if I can get a fucking ride because I'm walking so fucking far. And you go to call him back and your phone dies. But then you don't have a place to charge your phone for the next few miles. And man, this fucking sucks. I should have fucking asked him. Like, I had a chance. But now I gotta fucking go through all this by myself. Think about that. And to put it in this perspective, like, you're never gonna stop walking. You're never gonna have the chance to call him back.
Damn, that's actually a really good comparison. Holy shit.
You're gonna keep walking and you're gonna keep regretting, man, I should have fucking asked him. So make sure that when you are able to talk to people, you are able to talk to your loved ones, make sure you do say I love you. Make sure they know what that they're appreciated for sure. Because damn, I definitely fought that. Fought that for a while.
That my mom guilt, like the guilt of kind of...
Yeah, did my mom know I loved her? Did my mom know I appreciated everything she did? Doing everything as a single parent? Like, knowing that being a father now, she has been my role model. Like, I have to do... I'm going to try to be better than her, but it's impossible. There's, like, that's what I wanted her to know, but I never could. And, you know, you just... While you have them here, let them know they're loved.
What advice, if somebody's watching this, right, or, well, watching or listening, that, say, just lost somebody they loved, what advice would you give them?
Cry and scream as loud as you fucking can. Get it all out. And you know what? Have a drink. Have a drink if you drink. Do something that kind of calms you down, you know? But scream. Cry. Get it all out. Get it all out. Go into a place, be by yourself, and scream. Because the people on Facebook that say, praying for you, sending good vibes, doing this, doing that, fuck all them, man. They're not doing shit for you.
I agree, yeah.
This is all in you. All these pent-up feelings are all in you. And if the only way that that person that you lost is going to kind of sort of hear you is if you scream. You scream and you just get it all out. And then you think about the person they were and what they wanted for you. And then you don't let them down. And that way you can do unto your kids or your nieces, your nephews, the people under you, the same as they did to you. And you fucking keep pushing through. Because you know what? At the end of the day, yes, everybody's going to fucking die. Expect it or not. But we are not going to disrespect our loved ones that have passed by fucking groveling and sitting in our fucking woes and sorrows. We're going to push on and be the man that my mom desperately tried so hard to make me be. That's why I'm a successful motherfucker today.
Well, guys, you heard it. If you were listening or watching, that was some good shit. I mean, well, not good, but the way you explained it was very good. And I really appreciate it, like I said. And please take this time to, as soon as you stop listening to this, call your mom, call your dad, call your uncle, call your brother. Whatever you need to do, do that. Call them. Tell them you love them. Tell them something that you haven't told them, but you kind of want to. Appreciate the shit out of them. And just please be grateful for everything you have, because there's going to come a time where it's either stops happening or whatever you have isn't there, and that's gonna suck. So you wanna add anything?
Well, no, you pretty much said it all, man. You know, just let people know what they mean in your life. And with death, man, you learn a lot about yourself, about the people around you, what you care about, what you don't. And for me, I cut a lot of people out afterwards. Maybe that's something you gotta do too. You know, you realize, man, this person ain't shit. My mom didn't like that person. Fuck that guy. I need to stop hanging out with him, you know? Because at the end, you know, it doesn't matter. Also, don't work your fucking life away either. Don't fucking do that. It is so, so fucking short. And I'll tell you what, the only thing my mom took with her was her soul. You know what she left behind? Fucking mountains of debt that got passed on to us, the fucking house and everything, but it doesn't matter, you know. Once you're gone, no financial stuff is going to follow you. No materialistic stuff is going to follow you. Nothing's going to follow you. So, just fuck all that shit, man. Don't overwork. Just do what makes you happy so that when you die, you can die with a smile on your fucking face.
Hell yeah. All right, if you were watching or listening, like I said, please share this with somebody who really needs it, and just share it on your story or your wall or whatever social media outlet that you use. I'd really appreciate it. If you are listening or watching, I love you. I love the shit out of you. And please take this advice to heart. This is banging advice. It's really good. It's very intense. Love you guys.